تغفره. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We have unfortunately some bad news. The bad news is that because we haven't raised enough money to get this heat functioning properly, you are forced to sit in the cold. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us make our hands dig deep into the seams of our pockets and pocketbooks so that we can make enough money, raise enough money to make this place very comfortable so people can hear the verses of Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited and learned and implemented. Ameen. And number two, in addition to the cold, unfortunately, this class is not going to end tonight. It'll end in another 3 weeks, inshallah, because the subject is too wide, as I realized today. So that means that we have to go 4 classes for this subject on food, not one class. We're going to have 3 more classes after this one, inshallah. So that's the bad news. The good news is, tonight's subject is about something that everybody likes, whether there's some of it that they don't like, or some of it that they do like. Everybody needs it, and they like some of it, which is food. And there are a lot of narrations that could be mentioned, but we are just going to mention just a couple of narrations. There's one in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in his book, in Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. O human beings, and I believe this is the 167th verse, I'm not sure, Surah Al-Baqarah. O mankind, eat of the earth that which is halal and tayyib, and do not follow the footsteps of a shaitan, for surely he is for you an avowed open enemy. Yes, this one. Yeah, the brothers are telling me that this verse is 168 in Surah Al-Baqarah. This was the first narration that we wanted to cite. The second narration that we wanted to cite is a narration that is collected by Imam Ahmad and Imam Tabarani rahmatullahi alayhima, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَرْبَعُونَ إِذَا كُنَّ فِيكَ فَلَا عَلَيْكَ مَا فَاتَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. That there are four things, meaning four qualities, characteristics, that if you have them in you, there won't be any problem for you when this world dissipates. When the world goes away, when the dunya escapes you, when the dunya goes away, in other words, when you die. That if you have these four qualities, there you won't have any problems, inshallah. There won't be any problems for you. فَلَا عَلَيْكَ. There won't be anything on you, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then enumerated these four qualities. The first one is صِدْقُ hadith. صدق الحديث, speaking the truth, having truthful conversation, truthful speech. The second is حفظ الأمانة. حفظ الأمانة, which is keeping your contracts and your trust. Keeping your trust. When people give you an amana, you keep it, you preserve it, you protect it. The third is حسن الخلق, which is having good character with the people. And the fourth one, that you won't have any problem when the dunya goes away from you, escapes you and leaves you. The fourth quality that you will be in good shape if you have it is عِفَّةُ الْمَطْعَمُ. عِفَّةُ الْمَطْعَمُ. Which the best way I think, and this can be translated, is that you are very mindful of eating the halal. You stay far away from the haram. You don't fall into eating the foods that are doubtful. You eat the halal at proper times, not in excess. You don't become extremist in the halal foods. And you eat the foods that are nutritional. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. You eat the foods that are nutritious. When we look at this ayah, going back to the ayah in chapter 2, verse 168, we find one of the great scholars of the past, who was Allama, who was Muhaddith, who was Saqih, he was Mufti. He died approximately 83 years ago. His name was Al-Qasimi, Rahimahullah. And he was considered one of the imams of Ahl-Sunnah of our time, in this century. He's considered one of the imams of the Ahl-Sunnah of our times. And he said that the verse in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya ayyuhan nasu, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba, O human beings, eat of the food of the earth, that which is halal and tayyib. He said that which is halal and that which means that which is tayyib means that which is mustatabu fi nafsihi. Mustatabun fi nafsihi. That it is good within itself, it's delicious, it's luscious, it's tasty, it's good for you in its within itself. Lil abdan wa lil uqul. It's good for your bodies and it's good for your minds. That's the meaning of tayyib. And out of all the tafsirs that I have checked, tafsir Imam al-Shawkani, Fath al-Qadir, the tafsir of Abu Bakr al-Jazairi of today, rahimahullah wa hafidhuhullah ta'ala, the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, I checked the tafsir of As-Sa'd Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di, I checked tafsir al-Qurtubi, I checked tafsir al-Tabri, and some other tafsir of Quran. This seemed to be the most exact meaning of this particular word, tayyib. That which they translate as good. Halal and tayyib, that which is halal and good. Once again, according to Imam al-Qasimi, rahimahullah, who died 1913, I believe it was, or 1911. They say, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, he said that it means that thing is good within itself. It itself is good. The word mustatab means delicious. That it means that it's luscious, it's delicious, it's tasty. But as we go on, in the next three or four classes, we'll find out, we'll see, that can't be the case, always. That the thing that is tayyib, or the thing that is halal and tayyib, is not necessarily tasty. Just because something is tasty and delicious, it doesn't mean that it's good for you or it's halal. It doesn't mean that. And just because something tastes bad and repugnant to your taste buds, it doesn't mean it's haram. And this is something that Allah Ta'ala, in guiding us on how to have an Islamic household, he's teaching us that guidance can only be from him. That if we were to rely on our taste buds, or everything that we taste, and what we hear, and what we see, and what we feel, and what we touch, then we would go astray. We would go astray. When we look at the reason why Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sent down from the heavens food and drink, we'll find out that this food and drink that Allah has sent down from the heavens, He sent it down for one reason, and one reason only. And that reason, that he sent down this al-ta'ima, which is the plural for ta'am, and al-ashriba, which is the plural for sharab or drink, food and drink, is a wasila li'ibadatihi. That's it. It's a means, it's a vehicle to worship Allah. That's it. The only reason why we eat food is to strengthen our bodies, to make our bodies healthy, so that we can make the worship of Allah complete and perfect as possible. That's the reason. That's it. And one of the people of the past, they attributed this hadith to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I don't think this is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It may be from one of the Sahaba or the Tabi'un, and Allah knows best. But the saying itself is an important saying, and that is, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ لَا نَأْكُلُ حَتَّى نَجُوعَ وَإِذَا أَكَلْنَا فَلَا نَشْبَعَ. This statement is that we are people who don't eat until we're hungry. If we eat, we don't eat to our fill. We don't eat to our fill. We are not a people who eat until we are only a people who eat when we're hungry. That's what the statement is saying. We are a people who don't eat until they're hungry. In other words, the reason why the Muslim should be eating is not for the sake of the eating. The Muslim should be eating food to nourish their bodies, to sustain their bodies, to go out and work, to make money, to worship Allah, to build up their bodies so they can stand up at night in tahajjud. Because as we go along, we'll see that if you eat improperly at the wrong times and the wrong types of food, it'll be very difficult for you to make salah. It'll be very difficult for you to make hajj and umrah. It'll be very, very difficult for you to make difa', to defend your family when somebody attacks you. It'll be very, very difficult for you to make jihad. Very difficult. So the reason why we eat is to worship Allah. So that means what we eat is extremely important. When we eat is extremely important. How we eat is extremely important. Because this is one of the things, no, not one of the things, this is part and parcel of the thing that distinguishes the Muslim from the kafir. The thing that distinguishes the Muslim from the kafir, and before we mention that, we'd just like to say that everyone submits their will to Allah. The Muslim submits their will to Allah. The kafir submits their will to Allah. The heterosexual submits their will to Allah. The homosexual submits their will to Allah. The Arab submits their will to Allah. And the non-Arab submits their will to Allah. But the difference between the Muslim and the kafir, who submits their will to Allah, both of them equally, is that the Muslim submits his or her will to Allah willingly, submissively, and consciously. And everything that we do is a conscious effort. With the kuffar, they're unconscious. They're not subconscious, they're unconscious. They're not conscious of anything that they do, and if they did it, they would be running as fast as they could to Allah to adopt the way of Islam. So when we look at those branches of the types of worship, or the reason why we're created, which is to worship Allah, when we look at one of the branch reasons why we worship Allah, or why we're in here in this planet, which is to worship Allah, we'll see that food and drink is vital. It is so vital that connected with desires and lust, and desires and lust don't necessarily mean it's bad. Because Allah gave us desires and lust, and we are supposed to use even that to worship Allah. But connected to desires and lust, food can either be for the salvation of the person or the damnation of the person eternally. Eternally. Temporarily or eternally. When we look at the very first sin that was ever committed by any human being, we'll find that it was dealing with food connected with desire. That's what we'll find. That Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa ala nabiyyina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that he and his wife Hawa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And when we said to Adam and his wife Hawa, عليهما الصلاة والسلام وعلى نبينا كذلك, eat whatever you want in this garden that you're in, but don't go near that tree. Don't go near that tree. Because if you do go near that tree, you will be of the Zalimun. You will be of those who transgress the bounds. So this incident, the first transgression to the Lord of the worlds done by a human being, was done in connection to food. Food is so important for our salvation that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى تَيِّبٌ وَلَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا, that Allah the Most High is good, and He only accepts that which is good. He only accepts that which is good. وَأَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, and that He ordered the believers the same way He ordered the messengers and prophets. What did He order the messengers and prophets to do? Then the Messenger of Allah recited the verse, قَالَ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا, O messengers and prophets, eat that which is tayyib. Eat that which is tayyib. This is a commandment to the messengers of Allah. وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا, and do righteous deeds. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ, O you who believe, eat that which is at-tayyib, that which we have provided to you from ourselves, Allah. Eat of that which we have given and provided to you. Eat of those things that are of the tayyibat. With tayyibat, tayyibat is the plural word for tayyib, which means those things that are tasty, that are delicious, but not necessarily all the time, but they're nutritious, as Imam Al-Qasimi said, for your bodies and your minds. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ثم ذكر الرجل يطيل السفر أشعث أغبر. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a man who was on a journey. His hair was disheveled, his body was dusty. يمد يديه إلى السماء يا رب يا رب ومطعمه حرام ومشربه حرام وملسبه حرام وغذي بالحرام فأنا يستجاب لذلك. And in another narration, فَأَنَّ يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, this man raised his hands to the heavens in the manner that we make dua. Because we know one of the etiquettes of dua is to raise your hands with palms facing upward. And then he called on the Lord of the world using one of the best names of Allah, the Rabb. Ya Rabb. Not did he do it once, he did it twice. Ya Rabb. But what happened? His food was haram. His drink was haram. His clothing is haram. So how's, and he's nourished by the haram, so how is he going to have his dua answered? How is he going to have his actions answered when in the beginning of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى طَيِّبٌ وَلَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبَ الطَّيِّبَ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبًا. Allah is طَيِّب, and He only accepts that which is طَيِّب. And the word tayyib, when referencing Allah, means al-quddus. Al-tayyib means al-quddus. Allah is al-quddus. This is another word for tayyib. And He only accepts that which is tayyib from His creatures. So, the reason why the human being has been given food and drink is just and only exclusively to worship Allah. And if we don't look at food and drink for these reasons, then we have diminished and lowered ourselves to the position of an animal. That's what we've done. From this night on, inshallah, we're going to take a different look every time we put something in our mouth. Because as Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, has said, the signs of a person of taqwa, the alama, من علامات المتقين, one of the signs of the people of taqwa is his or her eating habits. Not the person who stands up at night and makes the hajjud, not the person who fasts on the 13th, the 14th, the 15th, not the person who fights in jihad. One of the signs of the person of taqwa is how and when and where and what they eat. This is how we're going to begin this class, inshallah, tonight on food and drink. So we're going to use this as an outline tonight, inshallah, and then in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to go into details. We'd like to mention some hadith from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I think that, inshallah, for the next few weeks, there'll be of some points of discussion, inshallah. Of some points of discussion, inshallah. And we're going to just talk about them in brief. If someone has some questions later, inshallah, we'll take them. But we're just going to talk about them in brief. The first one, عن عمر بن أبي سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كنت غلاما في حجر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وكانت يدي تتيش في الصحفة فقال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سم الله وكل بيمينك وكل مما يليك متفق عليه. I was a boy under the protection of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as my hand used to roam at large in the dish, he said to me, say Bismillah, eat with your right hand, and eat from what is next to you. Almost all of these hadiths, inshallah, tonight will be from Al-Bukhari and Muslim, so we don't have to ask if these hadiths are authentic. Alhamdulillah. The first thing we'd like to mention about this particular hadith, and once again, we're not going to go into detail, and we, of course, remember the subject or the topic, how to build or develop an Islamic household. He said, I was a boy under the protection of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wording says, كنت غلاما في حجر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I was a غلام. A غلام, in the Arabic language, is someone who is just about to reach puberty. They have not reached puberty, but they're right at the door of puberty. So we see that this young boy was under the tutelage and in the care of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. His name, of course, once again, was Umar, the son of Abu Salama. The son of Abu Salama. So we know that he was the stepson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And why do we say that? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was married to Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. The first thing we see in this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is educating this boy. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is educating this boy, even though he had not reached puberty. I hope you're listening. Even though he had not reached puberty, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still was teaching him the etiquettes of Islam and preventing him from doing something that was haram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't tell him or say to himself, O Messenger of Allah, you know, take it easy on this little boy. He hasn't reached puberty yet. Don't tell him to eat with his right hand. He's just a little kid. No. We find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam correcting the wrong no matter who it is. Even a young boy who hadn't even reached puberty. He said, Semillah. Say Bismillah. That's the first thing he told him to do. He said, Kul biyaminik. Eat with your right hand. And kul mimma yalik. And eat that which is closest to you. Let's look at these three things. Number one, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Semillah," say the name of Allah. This is a huge misnomer and misconception with the vast, and Allah knows best, the vast majority of Muslims. When Muslims see this hadith, "Semillah," say the name of Allah, they automatically, in most cases, when they get ready to eat their food, they say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. To say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim when you eat your food is against and in contradiction and opposition to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is one of the noblest things, probably the most noblest thing that a person can say. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not speak of his own desire. It is revelation in which he's inspired with, and that which he was inspired to say, to instruct us, was to say the name of Allah. He didn't say tell us to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He told us to say the name of Allah, which means Bismillah. That's it. Nothing else. To add to it Ar-Rahmanir Rahim is making istidrak on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is making correction or rectification on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he didn't tell us to say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That's number one. Number two, as we'll go on, and we're going to leave this number two, he told the little boy who had not reached puberty yet, Kul biyaminika, eat with your right hand. We're going to drop that. The third and last thing he said in this illustrious hadith from Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, or Imams al-Bukhari and Muslim, is Kul mimma yalik. Eat that which is closest to you. Eat that which is closest to you. What we gain from this particular hadith of eat that which is closest to you means eat that thing that is closest to you on the plate. This implies that you're all eating from one bowl. That's what it implies. That Abdullah doesn't have a separate plate from Fatima, and Abdul Karim, the father, doesn't have a separate plate from Sakina. That everybody's eating from the same tray, or same big, large dish. Because what would be the use of telling the boy to eat that which is closest to you if he's eating from his own individual plate? So the implication here, what implicitly, is that they're eating, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the boy, they're eating from one plate. Is it haram to eat separately? Is it haram to eat separately? The answer is no. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, in Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, I believe it is. It is chapter 24, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 24, the verse eludes me, I don't know what the verse is, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَأْكُلُوا جَمِيعًا أَوْ أَشْتَاتًا. I believe this is the way the verse goes, and Allah knows best. That it is no problem on you that you eat together or separately. And if anybody knows what this ayah is, as I'm not a hafiz of Quran, and I wish I was, if anybody knows what this ayah is, inshallah, if I said it incorrectly, may Allah forgive me, they can please tell us, inshallah, later on. But the implication of the ayah, the meaning of the ayah, is that you are allowed to eat together or to eat separately. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next hadith, and we're reading from Mishkat al-Masabih. The next hadith is from Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, where he said that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَسْتَحِلُّ الطَّعَامَ أَلَّا يَذْكُرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ أَلَّا يُذْكَرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, the devil considers food lawful for himself when Allah's name is not mentioned over it. The devil makes the food that you're eating halal for him by the permission of Allah when you don't say Bismillah. When you don't say Bismillah. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إذا دخل الرجل بيته فذكر الله عند دخوله وعند طعامه قال الشيطان لا مبيت لكم ولا عشاء وإذا دخل فلا يذكر اسم الله فلم يذكر اسم الله أو لم يذكر الله عند دخوله قال الشيطان أدركتم المبيت وإذا لم يذكر الله عند طعامه قال أتركتم المبيد والعشاء رواه مسلم. Jabir radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a man enters his house and mentions Allah's name on entering it and mentions Allah's name when eating his food, the shaitan says, you have no place to spend the night and no evening meal. And we mentioned this a few weeks ago. But when he enters without mentioning Allah's name on entering, the shaitan then says, you have found a place to spend the night. And when he doesn't mention Allah at his food, he says, you have found a place to spend the night and have Asha. Not Isha, but Asha, an evening meal. And again, the Prophet ﷺ said, on the authority of Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, إِذَا أَكَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِيَمِينِهِ وَإِذَا شَرِبَ فَلْيَشْرَبْ بِيَمِينِهِ. When any of you eats, he should eat with his right hand. And when he drinks, he should drink with his right hand. I say now to you brothers and sisters who are sitting in front of me, and those of you who are listening to my voice, Wallahi al-Azim, I swear by Allah the Great, that I have seen so many Muslims eating with their left hand, and so many Muslims eating with their left hand. It's unbelievable. You can't even imagine how many Muslims are negligent in eating with their left hand. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also said on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar, لا يأكلن أحدكم بشماله ولا يشربن بها فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَأْكُلُ بِشِمَالِهِ وَيَشْرَبُ بِهَا رواه مسلم. This point in this particular hadith, I have to make this comment. Any brother or sister that's studying the Arabic language, if you listen to the words that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is using, you'll see that eating with the left hand and drinking with the left hand is haram. It's not makruh. It's haram. This is a major sin to eat and drink with your left hand. Why? Look at the wording. لا يأكلن أحدكم بشماله ولا يشربن بها فإن الشيطان يأكل بشماله ويشرب بها. First of all, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is using what we call the noon thaqila. The noon thaqila. The heavy noon. It's called the heavy noon. He said, لا يأكلن. He didn't say, لا يأكلوا. He said, لا يأكلن. There's a shadda with a noon on the end of the verb. ولا يشربن. He didn't say, لا يشربوا. He didn't say, لا يشربوا. He said, لا يشربن. This is done for emphasis. In actuality, the meaning of it is, وَاللَّهِ لَا يَأْكُلَنَّ وَاللَّهِ لَا يَشْرَبَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ. I swear by Allah, let none of you eat and let none of you drink. That's the first thing. Okay, somebody may say, well, there's a lot of different verses, a lot of hadith that the noon taqila are on the verbs. Ah, but look at what the Prophet said in the next statement. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَأْكُلُ بِشِمَالِهِ وَيَشْرَبُ بِهَا. Shaitan eats with the left hand and Shaitan drinks with the left hand. Remember the ayah in the Quran? Ya ayyuha an-nasu kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba wa la tattabi'u khutuwatish shaitan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. O human being, O mankind, eat from the earth that which is halal and tayyib, and don't follow the footsteps of a shaitan. La'anatullahi alayhi. For surely he is for you an avowed open enemy. Shaitan wants you to eat the haram. Shaitan wants you to drink the haram. Shaitan wants you to stand and eat. Shaitan wants you to stand and drink. Shaitan wants you to lean and eat. Shaitan wants you to lean and drink. Shaitan wants you to recline and eat. Shaitan wants you to recline and drink. Shaitan wants you to eat while lying on your stomach. Shaitan wants you to drink while lying on your stomach. Shaitan doesn't want you to say Bismillah when you eat. Shaitan doesn't want you to say Bismillah when you drink. Shaitan wants you to go astray. That's his purpose for being in this existence, to make you go astray. And one of the best ways to make you go astray is through your food. Because you have to have it. You have to eat your food. Your food sustains your body so that you can worship Allah. So what better way to attack the human being in another direction, not frontal attack. See, it's not a frontal attack. He's just not going to come to you and spit on you or blow on you and whisper on you while you're making a salat to divert you away from the remembrance of Allah. He's going to attack the means and roads and vehicles that you use to worship Allah tabaraka ta'ala to get also. So he's going to attack your eating habits. He's going to whisper to you, come on, you're listening to those brothers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't really mean that it's haram to eat with the left hand. It's makruh. No. The ulama say, anytime shaitan is connected to an act, you automatically know that act is haram. It is haram. And there's no way you can get around it. The next hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the authority of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yakulu bi thalathati asabi' wa yala'aku yadahu qabla an yamsahaha. This is collected by a Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to eat with three fingers and lick his hand before wiping it. Now, let's say you're down at Junior's. Down on Flatbush, East Flatbush, what was that? Flatbush Extension down there, right? And you're eating some cheesecake. Or you're eating something that's halal down there. I don't know if anything is halal down there, but let's say you're eating something halal down there. Allah knows best. Oh, let's go better than that. Let's say you're at a Muslim restaurant, and the kuffar walks in. You see, I'm trying to soak it up so the kuffar can be present while you're eating. You're eating, and you're eating with your fingers. The kuffar walks in. Shaitan whispers to you, don't do that. That's uncouth. Why you want to do that? That's barbaric. They did that back in the time of the Prophet because they didn't have forks and spoons. So, you pick up the fork and spoon. No problem. It's not against the sunnah to eat with a fork and spoon in your house or outside of your house. But now, what do you do with your fingers when you want to lick them? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat with three fingers, and he used to lick his fingers. And in another narration, he said, if you don't lick them, have someone else lick them. Are you going to do that in front of the kuffar? Now you're really going to be barbaric. And who are you going to get to lick them? From that point, we can go straight into love and romance with your wives and your husbands. Alhamdulillah. But that's not tonight's topic. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companion Jabir radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam amara bi la'aq al-asabi as-sahfa. He said, "Innakum la tadruna fi ayati al-barakah." That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the people to lick their fingers and the dish. In actuality, the dish is licked first, according to some of the scholars, and then the fingers. He said, because you don't know in what portion the blessing lies. You don't know where that blessing is. And then this hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, إِذَا أَكَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلَا يَمْسَحُ يَدَهُ حَتَّى يَلْعَقَهَا أَوْ يُلْعِقَهَا. And this is collected by Bukhari and Muslim. When one of you eats, he must not wipe his hand till he licks it, or gives it to someone to lick. And on the authority of Jabir radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَحْضُرُ أَحَدَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مِّن شَأْنِهِ. And I'd like to stop there before finishing this hadith. I'd like to stop right here just to read this particular part. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the shaitan is present with one of you in everything he does. The shaitan is present with one of you in everything he does. حتى يحضر عند طعامه. Even he's present at the time he eats his food. Now, here comes the difficult part. I know we're going to get a lot of notes from the sisters up top. فَإِذَا سَقَطَتْ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمَ اللُّقْمَةِ فَلْيُمِطُوا مَا كَانَ بِهَا فَلْيُمِطَ مَا كَانَ بِهَا مِنْ أَذَى ثُمَّ لْيَأْكُلْهَا وَلَا يَضَعَهَا لِلشَّيْطَانِ فَإِذَا فَرَغَ فَلْيَلْعِقْ أَصَابَعُهُ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي فِي أَيِّ طَعَامِهِ يَكُونُ الْبَرَكَةِ أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The rest of the hadith says, so if any one of you drops a morsel of food on the ground, he should pick it up, wipe away anything that is injurious to it, eat it, and not leave it for the shaitan. And when he finishes, he should lick his fingers, for he does not know in what part of the food the blessing lies. For those of us who claim that we're on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this is a big test for them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, لا أكل متكئا, I don't eat reclining. And what does reclining mean? Some of the ulama say that reclining means like this, and the brothers can tell the children, sisters, how to do it, like leaning on the back of their hands like this, which is also impermissible to do, impermissible meaning makruh, when you're not eating, while you're sitting in the masjid, to lean like this. Because this is the way the Jews used to lean, with their hand extended to the back of them like this. Alright? So some say that's the way that the Prophet was talking about. Some, no, with the right or left hand, leaning on the right palm or the left hand with your hand behind you. This is eating or not eating. While you're in the masjid, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't sit like this because the Jews sit like this. Some of the other scholars say that leaning means like we lean like this, with our elbow, or leaning on the wall and eating. Some of the other ulama say leaning means the way I'm sitting right now, on my back part, with my legs, my feet folded under each other. Like we call that Indian squat, I think they call it, right? This is what they call it? Sitting like an Indian, that's what they call it? This is a very stereotypical ethnic, racial slur, but that's what they call it. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sit either iqa'an, meaning like what the people call a dog, and of course the Prophet alayhi wasallam did sit like a dog, but the way this brother is sitting like this right now, this is the way the Prophet used to sit, with his feet upright, like your feet are in sajda, him reclining on the back of his heels, or he used to shoot his left foot under his right foot and sit with his right foot sole flat on the floor and leaning towards the food to eat the food. This is the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat, and this is the way the fathers and mothers in the household should teach their children and their wives and their husbands, inshallah, how to eat. We're going to stop right here, and we're going to mention some other things that we wanted to say, inshallah, but we're going to save it for next week. We're going to stop right here and mention some of the foods and their nutritional value. These are foods that are mentioned in the Quran, and we don't have time to give you the verses or the hadiths. We just want to give you the nutritional value of these foods that are mentioned in Al-Quran and As-Sunnah. I don't think I have to tell you about garlic. We all know about garlic, and we're going to mention the hadith pertaining to garlic. Listen to the nutritional benefits of that piece of fruit called apples. Apples cures chronic enteritis. It's a bladder cleanser. It's an intestinal infection get rid of her, if you want to use that way. Inflammation of the colon. Apples help inflammation of the colon. It helps diarrhea. It helps arthritis. It helps herpes and viruses. Acid stomach. It's excellent fiber. It aids in detoxifying metals. It protects against danger from x-rays and radiation therapy. Lowers blood cholesterol. lowers blood pressure. It stabilizes blood sugar, and apples contain 84% pure water, carbohydrates, protein, minerals, vitamins A, B, and C, and they're also high in iron, potassium, and many nutrients. Apricots. Constipation. Cancer. Muscle and nerve. Important for the hypoglycemic. However, they should be consumed in moderation by diabetics. Bananas. Nerves. Alcoholism. Hypertension. Hemorrhoids. Heart disorders. Ulcers. Diarrhea. Potassium deficiency. High blood pressure. Edema. Intestinal disturbances. Muscular system. Feed the good bacteria in colon. Excellent for children and infants. Low in fat. Good for reducing diets. Good for convalescence because bananas are soft and high in needed nutrients, especially potassium and vitamin C. Let's go to some vegetables. Horseradish. Horseradishes benefit asthma, bronchitis, and lung disorders, lymphatic congestion, and digestive stimulant. It's a digestive stimulant. Horseradishes belongs to the mustard family. The root of the plant is used to flavor meats, seafood, and sauces. Fresh horseradish left in contact with the skin will cause blistering. Avoid contact with the eyes after getting it on the hands. Mustard greens. Mustard greens have the same nutrient content as other green leafy vegetables and should be included in the optimum diet. They contain high amounts of calcium, iron, vitamin A, and niacin. It is superior to spinach because of the lower oxalic acid content. Please excuse my pronunciation of these words. So the benefit of the calcium content is not lost. Rutabaga. Rutabaga, and I must admit, rutabaga, I use rutabaga juice. In fact, all these things I use in my juice machine. Rutabaga clears up mucus and congestion. Has an alkalizing effect on the body and contains anti-cancer qualities. The rutabaga is a member of the turnip family, producing a large yellow root. Rutabagas should not be consumed by anyone who has kidney problems. They contain mustard oil and may cause gas in some people. Kohlrabi, and this is an Arabic word that's adopted from the English language, English word that's adopted from Arabic. Kohlrabi, which is the word kuhl and rabbi. This is good for indigestion, jaundice, diabetes, the lymph system, and alcoholism. The fresh juice of kohlrabi is used in China to stop nosebleeds. Kohlrabi seed powder is also used in China to improve urination after childbirth. People who, when they get older, after they're no longer a child, they grow up, and they still have problems wetting in the bed, you can go to Pathmark, buy kohlrabi, it's a vegetable right there in Pathmark, or ShopRite, and use it to control urinating after childbirth, and it's also used to improve eyesight. And this particular vegetable contains high amounts of vitamin C, calcium, and potassium. It is also a good source of fiber, and it tastes like a mild turnip. K-O-H-L-R-A-B-I. Kale. K-A-L-E. Kale is one of the best cancer-fighting vegetables we have on our planet. Unfortunately, we do not usually have it in our diets. Kale is the richest of all leafy greens vegetables. It has the most content of carotenoids. It is a powerful anti-cancer agent. Kale is rich in vitamin A, C, riboflavin, niacin, calcium, magnesium, iron, sulfur, sodium, potassium, phosphorus, and chlorophyll. This leafy green is excellent in protecting smokers against lung cancer once they stop smoking cigarettes. All members of this particular group of the vegetable kingdom protect against cancer of the stomach, esophagus, colon, oral, throat, and gastrointestinal cancer. Lower rates of cancer have been reported in the areas of the breast, bowel, bladder, and prostate because of kale. Kale's calcium is easily assimilated, making it a wonderful food for arthritis, osteoporosis, and bone loss disorders. And we have some others which we're not going to talk about. It's turnip, watercress, alfalfa, asparagus. Asparagus protects against cancer. It builds healthy capillaries. It builds red blood cells. It stimulates the kidney and liver function. Asparagus. And it's a potent diuretic. And it also builds up the immune system. And lastly, and once again, we'll come back and mention some others on the next class, I'd like to mention MSG, monosodium glutamate. Some brothers have heard me mention this in the past. We're also going to mention in some classes to come, inshallah, red dye 40, yellow dye, and blue dye, of which are used to rinse your hair and other things. This is in the sodas that you drink, and a lot of the candy bars that you eat, and foods that you eat in general. But as for monosodium glutamate, which is MSG, listen to this report. One form of MSG is autolyzed yeast. MSG has been known and implicated in damaging the central nervous system, the endocrine organ disorders, cardiac distress, and illness in other parts of the body. MSG, when they found out that it was no good, the manufacturers changed the name to hydrolyzed protein and natural flavor. Hydrolyzed protein is a natural flavoring from animal blood and other decaying protein sources. This substance is then subjected to acid hydrolysis, normally concentrated hydrochloric acid at temperatures from 200 to 220 degrees Fahrenheit for 4 to 6 hours. Sodium hydroxide, which is sold commercially as Drano, is then added to neutralize the solution. O you who believe, eat that from the earth that which is halal and tayyib, and don't follow the footsteps of a shaitan, for surely he is for you an avowed open enemy. Beware of what you eat, brothers and sisters. The food and the drink has been sent down to worship Allah. That's the only reason for it. Don't eat when you're not hungry, and don't eat a lot. And make sure that what you eat is nutritious so that you can stand up in front of your Lord on the day of resurrection saying with no excuse that I worshipped you in a manner befitting you, O Lord, and I worshipped you to the best of my capacity. So inshallah, we'll take some questions if someone has some questions. Nothing from the sisters, inshallah. The brother's asking the question, what do you do when you're eating and something gets on your left hand, like some grease or some crumbs or something from the chicken or something like that? What do you do? You simply take it off with your right hand and lick your right hand. And Allah knows best. Anything else? Naam. Yeah, for those people of which we left out purposely, for those people who might say, but listen, those vegetables and fruits that you mentioned, they are being sprayed with those chemicals. What do we do about that? What we do about that is that we buy, if we can afford it, organically grown vegetables and fruits. We buy fruits and vegetables that are organic, which are not affected by those pesticides. And you'd be surprised today what is organic. Right now in my refrigerator, alhamdulillah, I have organic milk from organically raised cows. We're going to come to that, inshallah. About immunizations, we're going to talk about that, inshallah, when we get to the section on water. Because it's obvious to me, of 23 years of being a Muslim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, that the Muslims in America don't drink enough water. We use too much salt, too much sugar, and we drink not enough water. And alhamdulillah, now here, at least on the East Coast where we live, now you can not only drink spring water at a cheap price, or distilled water at a cheap price, you can now drink Zamzam, which is the best of waters. You can get it right now, right here in the New York, New Jersey area. I'd like to end this with one narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companion Anas radiallahu anhu said, a khayyat, a tailor, invited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a meal which he had prepared. And I went along with the Prophet, that's Anas radiallahu anhu. He, the tailor, presented barley bread and soup containing pumpkin and dried sliced meat. I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam going after that pumpkin around the dish. In other words, everywhere the Prophet saw the pumpkin, he was going for it. So I always, after that time, have liked pumpkin. From that day on, Anna said, I like pumpkin. Listen to, that's the end of the hadith, and that hadith is collected by Bukhari Muslim. Listen to the nutritional value of pumpkin. Pumpkin is rich in zinc, calcium, and B vitamins. And some doctors use the oil and the seeds of the pumpkin to treat something that is very predominant in men, especially black men, which is prostate cancer. Pumpkins are used to treat the prostate gland. And it's prostrate. We don't want the pumpkin. You don't want your glands prostrating. It's the prostate gland. Thank you. And it's also used to destroy parasitic worms in the intestinal tract. So, if you see me buying pumpkins in this month of October, I didn't buy them for Halloween. I bought them because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked them, and Anas radiallahu anhu liked them, and they have good nutritional value. Yes. Ooh, that's a long note here. Yeah, the brother Mustafa, jazahullah kulla khayran wa ahsan jazah, is mentioning that as he grew up, and as probably most of all of us grew up, we learned to wash our hands before we ate. And the reason why we didn't mention it tonight, we were going to mention it, inshallah, when we got to the water, inshallah, drinking the water and using the water to wash our hands, is because I don't know of one narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on washing the hands before you eat. I don't know of one. The only narrations I know of are washing your hands after you eat. But it's a good thing to do. But if someone doesn't do it, we shouldn't make a big issue about it. But if the person doesn't want them to eat from their food, this is their prerogative. They have the option of not allowing a Muslim to eat from their food because they don't wash their hands. But at the same time, we shouldn't say that that person is violating a principle of Islam, which is being clean. Because to say that he's violating a principle of Islam by not washing his hands when we don't have a narration of the Prophet or Sahaba washing their hands would be to say that we're making a rectification and a correction on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what we have to be careful of. That's the point that we have to keep in mind. Don't say that the person is being unclean. Just say, I don't want you eating. This is the way I grew up, and this is from my particular culture. I don't want you eating from my plate, and you haven't washed your hands. But we do have, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where when we go to sleep at night, when we wake up, he says, wash your hands because you don't know where your hands have been. But this is not specifically pertaining to the eating of the food. This is just in general, because you don't know where your hands have spent the night. But if you take that hadith, we can extrapolate from that hadith qiyasan, using analogical deduction, which is permissible in Islam, to say it's good to wash the hands because you don't know where your hands have been in the daytime either. There's all kinds of filthy things that's going on. You see? You're more unlikely to know where they are while you're sleeping, because you are not Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam aynahu used to be sleeping, but his heart was awake. He was the only one from among the creatures that his eyes slept, but his heart was wide awake. When you go to sleep, both of them are sleeping. So you don't know where your hands are. Now, you have an engine on your right hand, or you say you're injured on your right hand? I was going to say, if you have an engine on your right hand, you're going to be in bad shape trying to eat some food. You have to lift that engine up first. If you've injured your right hand, and you can't eat with that hand, then your left hand becomes your right hand. It's the same thing for istinja. And if you lose both your hands, then from qiyas, you're going to use your right foot. Right? Now, this is what we mentioned earlier. Yeah, you shoot the right foot. The right foot is, the left foot is up. That's what I think I made a mistake. Yeah, the left foot is on the floor and the right foot. No, wait a minute. I was right, yeah? Yeah, it's the left foot. That's right. Because it's the left foot like this. The left foot and the right foot is up like this. I said it right. I didn't make a mistake. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, you can also sit like that. Like you're sitting Salat. Yeah, you can also sit like that. Now, sitting on chairs, that's a bit Alec. No problem with that. No problem sitting on chairs. No problem eating at a dining room table. There's no problem with this. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being a slave, a real, in the extreme sense of the word, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he was an abd and he ate the way abds eat. I'm a slave and I eat the way a slave eats, and I sit the way slaves sit. See? So now, if you really want to be like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you would not eat at a dining room or kitchen table. You eat on the floor. That's why he ate on the floor. Candlelight. Once again, that goes into love and romance. Now, candlelight. A candlelight dinner for two. It's permissible to have candlelight. Brothers, you brothers should romance your wives. You should have some. I'm telling you, whoever hears this tape, we're going to give you Mustafa's address so he can teach you how to have good love and romance by candlelight, inshallah. And with that, inshallah, we're going to end it. We're coming to that. Yeah, we were coming to that. We left those all purposely. Is there anything else? It's time for the adhan. Is there anything else before we call the adhan, inshallah? How do you hold the fingers? Eating with all five fingers is no problem. There's no problem eating with five fingers, nor is it a problem eating with a spoon or fork. It's no problem. Using the both hands to grab the food, no problem. There's no problem. There's no problem holding it with the left hand. There's no problem with breaking it with the right and the left hand together. But one thing we want to mention, and we want to save that until later, but we'll mention it now, inshallah, because the brother's waiting for us to call it then, because it's 8:25. And that is, you see some brothers, when they drink, when their hands are greasy from the using their hands to eat, they hold the glass with their left hand and put their right, the top of the back of their right hand under the glass. So they drink like this. You know? They have the glass in their left hand and they have their right hand under the bottom of the glass. This is not permissible, brothers and sisters. No, they have their right hand. They're drinking with their left hand and they have their right hand, the back of their wrist, on the bottom of the glass as though they're trying to, like they're supposed to be drinking with their right hand. Right? So I always tell them, just move your left hand. Move your left hand. Right? And it'll drop to the floor to prove that you're not drinking with your left hand. And they do this, they leave off a halal act to do a haram act. It's halal to get the glass greasy. There's nothing wrong with getting greased and rice and stuff, curry chicken on the glass. It's halal. All you gotta do is wash the glass. But it's haram to drink with the left hand. You see how shaitan is? You see how he tricks people? It's a trick from shaitan. Don't get the glass dirty. Drink it with your left hand. The sister sent down a note about the verse 61 from chapter 41. Excuse me, chapter 24 from Surah Nur. But this is not the chapter. This is not the verse we were talking about, sister. Inshallah, the verse is talking about eating with eating together or eating separately. Oh, wait a minute. No, this is not it. So inshallah we'll have the adhan call now. Oh yes, this is it. You're right. You're absolutely right, sister. I kept reading. It is verse 20, verse 61. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Laysa alaykum junahun an ta'kulu jami'an aw ashtata." Yes. There's no blame on you. You're right, sister. Jazakillah khaira. There's no blame on you if you eat together or separately. But then there's a hadith that says, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Eat and drink together, or eat together, and don't become divided, because eating together, there's barakah. And Allah knows best. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.